I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Pain in the Grass is back. It's the biggest rock festival in the PNW. And it's returning to the White River Amphitheater for three big days, Labor Day weekend. So if you're lucky enough to have that Monday off, man, you're going to enjoy Pain in the Grass big time.
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so.
Yeah, it's quite the party. Three big days, Friday, September 2nd. Saturday, September 3rd, Sunday, September 4th, lots of shows, lots of great music, highlighting the many different eras in KISW's 51-year history.
You want Incubus, you got him on Friday. Woo! You want Alice in Chains, you got him on Saturday. You want Sammy Hagar, George Thorogood, the Destroyers, you got them on Sunday. A bunch of other bands as well, BJ. It's going to be a great time, including our big party that you get to hang out with us. I heard one of the days is already sold out, Vicky, right?
Oh.
Which day is that?
Saturday.
Saturday. So if you want to hang out with us, we're doing a BJ and Migs party on Friday as well. So get your tickets for that one.
All right. So Friday's the day that you got to get them. Okay, man. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster. And there are also a limited number of $9.99 early bird lawn tickets available. Available only to Rockaholic Club's members. But here's the thing. You can be a part of the Rockaholic Club. You can just join for free. So you want to do that? Want to get the free, the good tickets? I mean, come on. You, all of it available at KISW.com.
Let's play B-Migs.
It's time to play the game.
Yeah!
So scream his name, B-Migs. Don't be a loser.
Whoa!
B-Migs, you're a loser.
It is time for B-Migs, but it's Wednesday, so let's whack him instead.
Whack it.
Let me see everybody do their Mr. Wacky then.
All right.
Woo! Whack it.
And Steve, you were whacked earlier today.
Yeah, that was so great.
Begrudgingly.
Well, yeah, I don't think you usually want to lose there, do you?
No.
Well, we'll have to see if this is going to be a twofer. We got Dan in Seattle to take you on. Dan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm always ready for my victory.
Oh, look out. Look at
whack
that.
It.
All right.
Confidence is oozing through the phone lines.
All right, get out of here. For those playing at home, Dan will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Dan, you can pass all you want, but you will only get three guesses per question. Are you ready?
Like I said, always ready.
Nice. The most expensive bottle of wine ever sold came from which European country?
Italy.
No.
France.
Yes. Coconut milk, pineapple juice, and rum make up what cocktail?
Pina colada.
Yes. Which Pacific Northwest mountain erupted on May 18th, 1980?
Mount St. Helens.
Yes. What are Hall & Oates' first names?
Pass.
What is James Bond? What is James Bond's preferred drink?
Gin.
No.
Vodka?
No.
Rainier?
No. What animal did humans first domesticate?
Cats?
No.
Dogs?
Yes. Andy Warhol coined the phrase 15 minutes of what?
Fame?
Yes. What is the name of the Griffin's youngest child on Family Guy?
Stewie.
Yes. How many years does a replicant live for in the movie Blade Runner?
2049.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 correct.
Ooh, you might have, I think you're going to have a little problem with that James Bond question.
Why?
We'll see.
I said drink. Well, alcohol.
Yeah, I guess it does. Well, you know what? I can see your point. I can see both sides. So we'll have to see what people might think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Let's do
it. It's a tough one. I mean, I can see both sides. But you know what? I'm going to let the people decide, and that would probably be Steve.
Yeah, it'll be me, because I'm the people.
Because I run this thing.
He is the law. He's Judge Dredd of Beat Migs.
I am the law! I like that.
Well, I did look something up, and I don't know how I don't know how anyone's going to get this answer, to be honest with you. Well, so I'm interested to hear what the answer is.
I get right.
I do too. Yes,
it's going to be great.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what's up.
Steve, are you ready?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Oh, let's go!
Whoa, the most expensive bottle of wine ever sold came from which European country?
Italy?
No.
France?
Yes. Coconut milk, pineapple juice, and rum make up what cocktail?
A pina colada.
Yes. Which Pacific Northwest mountain erupted on May 18th, 1980?
Mount Everest.
No.
Mount Shasta.
No.
Mount, I can't think of it. Mount, come back to it.
Okay. What are Hall & Oates' first names?
Daryl and John.
Yes. What is James Bond's preferred drink?
Shaken, not stirred.
No.
A martini?
Yes. What animal did humans first domesticate?
Dogs.
Yes. Andy Warhol coined the phrase 15 minutes of what?
Paradise.
No.
Whoa. Fame.
Yes. What is the name of the Griffin's youngest child on Family Guy?
Stewie.
Yes. How many years does a replicant live for in the movie Blade Runner?
5.
No.
6.
No.
9.
No. What relation to you is your uncle's mother?
Grandma.
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You win 8-6.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice work. Sorry about that, Danny.
Yeah, sorry, Dan.
Yeah, I'm still looking to shout out to my wife and kid.
There you go. You gave a shout out to his wife and kid.
Oh, what are their names?
My wife, Eva, and my two boys are Wesley and Oliver. It's for them.
Nice. Aww. Wesley, Oliver.
Give it out a shout.
Your dad just got whacked.
Yeah, sorry about that. But you know what?
It's a lesson
good guy.
In losing. Sometimes dad doesn't win either.
Whack it's true, yeah.
Well, I mean, my nitpick wouldn't have made a difference, so Steve, you won fair and square anyway.
Yeah.
What was the nitpick about?
When I asked what is James Bond's preferred drink, he said gin and then vodka.
Oh. The answer you took for the question is vague because it's not just a martini. It is a particular drink, and it actually doesn't even have martini as what it's called. It's actually called the Vesper, and that was made famous by James Bond. So taking martini, there's so many different kind of martinis. That's why I thought,
a Vesper? I thought that was a scooter.
That's a Vespa.
That's a Vespa. Yeah.
Well, in New York, it's called a Vesper.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I don't know how Steve's going to get this, the Vesper martini, but you're just taking martini. That's why I thought, well, then vodka, because it is a vodka martini. Vodka is also what he's drinking there, too. So that's why I said he could go either way.
Okay. Like, I just know it's martini shaken, not stirred.
I just know the shaken, not stirred part. I was excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know if you looked it up. I quickly looked it up because I thought, I think it's a vodka martini is what he drinks. And then I went down this rabbit hole of the Vesper, and I was like, didn't even know it had a name. It's like, it's a drink that was actually called the Vesper that's now famous because of James Bond.
Do you think if you go to a bar and ask for a Vesper, they know what you'd want?
Maybe.
That's a good question.
Well, because apparently one of the original recipe calls for a thing called Quina Lillette, which is no longer exists.
Oh.
Damn it, I can't get my Vespa. Now I got to get a. Now I have to just maybe get a Vespa instead.
Well, we go to our radio convention. Let's only order Vespers.
Ooh.
And see what happens.
They're going to give you the weirdest hairy eyeballs. They're going to be like, what?
We're just going to get kicked out of Chicago.
Yeah.
Like,
the whole city.
We would like around the Vespers. And you're like, what is that? We're going to go somewhere else, more culture.
Yeah, wow.
Well, damn, we're going to go to the gentleman's club.
Good point.
We don't have any dancers named Vesper.
The Pacific Northwest mountain that erupted on this date 42 years ago was Mount St. Helens.
I couldn't even think of it.
Yeah, Dan did get that one.
People are posting pictures. I know some people on Facebook are going, hey, where were you?
Because it's the anniversary today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't tell my wife that.
Why?
She has a huge fear of the volcano erupting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys are in Pew Island, very close to Mount Rainier, in that little valley, because, you know, they do that Lahart sounders the beginning of every month. So that's got to be terrifying for her.
It's like the one thing, like, of all the things, like, you know how some people have, like, an irrational fear? Mm-hmm. Well, spiders as well, but, you know.
I don't know if it's that irrational.
It's
spiders
in eruption,
so I mean, okay.
They do happen.
You hope that it's not in your lifetime.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm like just kind of in that, like, I think we're fine. But I mean, I don't know. Like, today could be, I don't want to say that.
Don't say it.
We're fine.
Don't you manifest that thing and knock on a particle board or whatever.
Yeah, I think we're fine, babe.
See, that answer wouldn't work for me because I'd be like, what do you mean you think we're fine? What is that even? How do you even know?
Exactly. I was like, if anything, let's just take your car and not mine because yours gets to 60 a lot faster.
Yeah, okay. That would probably help. Finally, BJ, you probably know this one. How many years does a replicant live for in the movie Blade Runner?
I should know this. I'm going to say 4.
Oh, yep, you do know it.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I knew it or not, but I was like, I think it's 4.
Yeah, good job. And congrats on your whacking, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, Steve, good job, buddy.
Felt real good.
It is now time for you. Yes, it's your time. Listeners on the loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. You can also text us at 77999. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts at 917 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose, brought to you by Law Tigers. Listeners on the Loose, where you pick the topic, you guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Yes, it is your opportunity to be heard, as long as you follow Steve's rule.
It's a simple rule, BJ. That's to show some energy and bring it. Otherwise, we're going to have to gong you. And then say goodbye.
Goodbye, old friend.
206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
So it's based on Steve's weird tweet about iced and hot coffee. What's everyone's favorite way to drink coffee? Iced, hot, blended, nitro, and what flavors? For me, I've been stuck in that double shot in the dark since you guys talked about. Some kind of drip coffee with two shots in it. That's what he said.
I haven't seen your weird tweet. What is so weird about your tweet?
I don't think anything's weird about it. I quote tweeted my buddy who's a wrestler. It's Richard Holiday, who's an awesome dude, and he's all about coffee. Like when he came and wrestled here in Washington, his mind was blown by how many great places there were to go to. And he did all day long was drink coffee nonstop. Yeah. And then we told him about the bikini baristas, and his head was even more blown by like, what the hell are you talking about? So he put up a tweet that just said, hot or iced coffee in the morning. And he said, I lean towards hot, but it's close. And my response was, I go with hot because it lasts longer.
Because you drink iced coffee way too fast.
Yeah, I want to get my money's worth. So even in the summer, I get a hot coffee. And that way I can milk it and I don't feel like I just like sucked it down too fast. Okay, that's a little weird. Okay, the texture's right.
Never mind. Yeah, that's
phrasing.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I'm hot all the time for me.
I really like iced coffee, but I mean, I really seem to get hot coffee more. So I guess I got to say I'm a hot guy.
I mean, I think most people would agree.
Don't y'all agree? I mean, come out.
No. Okay, well, nobody agrees with that. How about
the crowd went mild on that answer?
Yeah, crowd went mild. Thank you. You are a supportive group. Thank you so much. All right, so Danny, how about you? Hot or cold coffee? This is the big question.
Iced all the way.
Iced.
Ooh, yeah, I will always enjoy it. And
ice. My wife always wants to get iced. She goes hot.
The only time I have hot coffee is when I just brew it at home because it's too much effort to get the ice out of the freezer. But if I'm ordering it somewhere, I don't want to get the ice out of the freezer.
When you make hot coffee at home because you have no heat in your house, it instantly turns into iced
coffee.
That's
also true. Right? Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was always iced coffee. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, anywhere I go ordering, it's always an iced Americano.
Ooh. All right, Rev. How about you?
If I'm just doing normal coffee, like doing it at home, absolutely hot coffee all the way. Actually, no. Yeah, hot coffee almost all the time. Because even if I get a fancy coffee, it's going to be one of them lattes.
I will see if Vicky's weird
or likes hot coffee.
I think he's going to be like, oh, I like energy drinks or something. So he'll be like,
I
don't even like coffee.
I like hot coffee, but if I go like in the afternoon and stuff, like for something iced or refreshing, I'd rather get a fruity drink. Because they have like all the fancy refreshers with the dried strawberries.
Well, that's iced.
But yeah, that's not a coffee.
It's not coffee, Danny.
There's
sorry.
There's caffeine in it.
Yeah, it's a typical
still not coffee. Okay.
No word. The coffee word is not used at all in it.
A strawberry acai lemonade refresher.
Acai.
So you called it though, Steve. Leave it to Vicky to go. I am going to go off the rails on this conversation.
It's hot coffee because I'm like, if I can get cold, like why would I want cold when I can get berry?
Okay. You know what? Your tweet is no longer the weirdest thing of this whole segment.
One of the most entertaining things though about coffee though is going somewhere other than here and ordering like one of the normal drinks that you would have here. Like I can just, you know, grande soy vanilla latte. But I had a friend in Florida who ordered a quad shot coffee, like, you know, four shots of espresso. Sure. And the person taking the order thought he grew another eyeball. Like it was one of those where like we don't know how to do that. And he had to explain, you just take the four shots. And they're like, you really want that? And they like they showed up to it later, and they just gave it to him like the straw. Like there's no like they just like, well, here, I don't know if there's anything else you want with it. And yeah, it was just totally mind boggling.
Yeah, I remember that. You know, I mean, back in the Northeast, Dunkin' Donuts was known for their coffee, and it's just, I'll have a cup of coffee. And, you know, do you want a large or a small? That was it.
There's no other names for it.
My father loved it. It was like, you know, and all of a sudden, Starbucks came with what they came with, and I would have never believed anybody could have knocked Dunkin' Donuts off of the coffee perch that they were on, especially in that part of the country. But man, Starbucks changed the game.
Are you guys all latte people? Because like I said, mine is an Americano.
I go back and forth.
Black Americano, and that's my that's my go-to coffee.
Decaf. I get a tall decaf Americano.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of lattes, but you know, every once in a while you got to switch it up just to keep them on their toes.
Every once in a while, yeah, he's right. I get a skinny vanilla latte every once in a while to just mix it up.
To go back on what Rev was talking about, sometimes like they'll ask a follow up question. I just look at them like as if they're speaking a different language. I'm like, I don't know. Just give me what you usually make. I just usually say this. I don't know what even goes in this. Like, I don't even know how you make this. Like, just make it for me. I don't know how many shots or pumps or squirts I need. Like, just give me what you
wow.
Get you all them squirts.
Give me what is your typical squirtage, and I'll be happy.
Ah. Yeah, typical squirtage is a great name for a punk band.
That's actually true.
Yeah.
All right, we have a question that has nothing to do with coffee.
No. All right, 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. It's Listener's Law on the Loose right here on The Rock.
It's nothing to do with coffee, but maybe about someone who's caffeinated. It said, hey, happy anniversary or Danniversary to Danny V.
Hey, I like that, actually.
Danniversary.
Yeah.
It's been all over Facebook. I don't know how many times Danny's had a post.
He's been all over Facebook.
Yeah, he posted them all.
He posted himself. He posted on like some radio group page on Facebook.
To be fair, I just shared that one. I didn't post.
Oh, my bad. You still had to post the share.
True.
But somebody want to know, in the 6 years you've been with The Rock, what's been your favorite memory? And for the rest of the crew, what's been your favorite memory about Danny?
Oh, God, who would ask this question?
I should have read this sooner. I don't know.
Yeah,
we need more time
memory
to come up
about
with something.
Danny. I mean, first of all,
maybe the first time we met, had you meet with Danny and you made him cry.
That's true. That was a good memory.
That was a hysterical job interview. I still, to this day, go, I don't even know how to interview people anymore. I don't even know what this happens. This happens on job interviews now.
Yes.
I mean, it's so many to pick from. I wasn't there for the time that he hurled at the radio convention, but wish I was there for that.
You're there for the aftermath.
I was.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. He wasn't even in Chicago.
I wasn't in Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I stayed to watch Pearl Jam.
My favorite is when Danny did the Lion King pose, and we all made fun of it and did our own poses where he's holding up little baby Lily. And I think he said this or my heart or my soul. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
And we all did our own version of that.
That was a fun, like, I don't know. We eventually talked about it on the air, but for a while we had that inside joke of whenever Danny went on his trips to go see Lily, we would have like a betting pool on how many pictures would be posted.
Yes.
In the time from when he arrived to when he left. And it was like, we would all pick like ridiculous numbers, and we would all be very close to it, like 15, or in 3 days he'll post at least 20 pictures, and it'd be
Yeah. Like 16 of them.
Yeah. It was a great game that we played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, and also when he shared, I think one of my favorites is him just not even batting an eye when he shared that he sprays cologne in his mouth as a form of breath freshener.
Yeah, that.
yeah. Or when Joe thought that I was going to burn the room down when he found out that I straightened my hair. And he smelled the burning. We were in Boston, and Joe comes running in. Guys, the hotel's on fire! And I was no, that's my straightener, Joe. Just it's cool.
That's amazing.
It's just my hair.
It's just my hair. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my probably favorite memory was probably the first Pain in the Grass. Being able to go up on stage and do the crowd, whatever, the band introduction. It was just such a crazy thing of being I finally made it to Seattle. This is awesome.
Aww. Look at that, huh?
Yeah.
Look at the joy. I wish we could share in it. Anyway, Danny, happy 6th.
Hey, thanks, BJ.
One that pops in the head, it's not even anything to do with the show, but just going to a hockey game with Danny. That was a fun memory.
Oh,
that
was.
Just because there were multiple times while I'm sitting there thinking, this is crazy that we have a pro team, the Kraken, and also how cool is it that I'm experiencing this as a lifelong hockey fan with someone who's a year one hockey fan and is just as excited about the sport as I am. And I thought that was a cool moment. Had nothing to do with the show, but it was just kind of awesome.
And I thought you were going to say when you got a tattoo with Danny, because that's mine.
We
went to Chicago and we just spontaneously got tattoos in the middle of their Pride Festival thing they had going on, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, we got similar tattoos. We didn't get them at the same time because I chose not to be in them. That's a long time
but
spent
that's
with
still
Danny.
Like a bro thing.
No. But to be fair, and Steve and I completely talked about this afterwards. We are so glad we did not go at the same time.
Such a long day.
It would have been probably 7-8 hours, and it was just it's not even not being with each other. It's one of us would have been playing on our phone in the lobby while the other one was getting tattooed,
and we did a fresh after. After the show ended, so it's you're already exhausted, and now you're stuck with each other for 7 more hours. And you're I want to go to bed, man.
Yeah. My other favorite memory was throwing up at our radio convention.
Yeah.
And BJ finding out, thinking it was hilarious, and then them being no, he was on your show, and BJ just being oh, God.
Oh, that's right, because he was some idiot here did it.
Yeah.
BJ's just schmoozing in the bar, and there comes Danny.
Do you know how many times people come up to me making fun of somebody at a convention, and they come to me going, you won't believe what this idiot did. You won't believe. And it's somebody from our show. And I'm that was Vicky. That was Danny. That was Sarah. I mean, it's every time it's one of our people. So,
who would ever pass out on one of BJ's radio contemporaries?
Oh, that was here I am having a really good conversation, and there goes Steve, and he falls on the guy.
Jeff or Jer from San Diego. I'm not even sure which one.
What is happening? And I'm I don't know. I'm so sorry I bring these people with me. Gosh. You know, meanwhile, Jeff and Jer, everybody they brought, the people on their show, always the epitome of class,
they
always
wore ties
really good people.
And fun stuff like that.
Yeah,
who wears a tie to these things? Losers.
Well, whatever. These guys, I was man, I'm always trying to impress those two because they did great radio. They always were the stars at boot camp. Their entire show was always the friendliest to everybody. And all right, finally, maybe I'm on their level where they will respect me and we're having a great conversation. And Steve's I think I'll fall on the guy. That's what I'll do. This is the right time for this.
It was that or continue to listen to that guy talk to me. I mean, I was I'm just going to close my eyes.
Oh, that's a good out, man.
I can't bring any of you anywhere.
The highlight of that was that caused the scene. Everyone in the convention was there to witness that. And then fast forward an hour later, I dip out and I go to a different bar. A bunch of the radio people, because it's right across the street from the hotel, show up to that bar and they look like they saw a ghost when they saw me because I was mid taking a shot.
Yeah.
Aren't you the guy that just passed out an hour ago and you're taking a shot? I'm that's I'm good now.
That's legendary, man.
I didn't even get it out of my system. It was a cigar room. I was really hot. This is way more comfortable. The windows are open here.
Oh, man, was that a beating?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
You know what?
Thanks for that.
What is it? Santa's Broken Toys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Misfit Toys.
That's it.
That's us.
That's us, man.
Rich Voss, actually, he made that assessment when he came in.
Not wrong.
You pick the topic. You guide the show. It is Listeners on the Loose, 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. More of your calls, more of your texts at 933 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic, you guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
Got a couple texts about this morning. One person said, did you guys hear about the drama with Matt Cameron and Rolling Stone? Another person said, did you see the two drummers, Matt Cameron and Will Ferrell, I almost said it.
Will Ferrell's great.
Chad Smith of the Chili Peppers mad at Rolling Stone for what they said about Taylor Hawkins. Pretty interesting stuff.
I don't know. You know, I would love to have seen the whole context of everything, but I mean, you know, when the words are said as what they're said and in this situation, and basically Matt Cameron told Rolling Stone that Taylor Hawkins was thinking of leaving the band before he passed away. Is pretty much the essence of it, Steve? Is that what you're getting?
It sounded like he just wanted to take a big break. And from what I gathered, and I only saw the clips, like some of the excerpts that I saw from the interview where it was just like, they are having a heart-to-heart about how he just can't do that grind anymore because the Foo Fighters, when they go on tour, they go on tour.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't know if I have it in me anymore. It's just too much of a, it's too much on me mentally. And I even read an interview that Taylor Hawkins did right before he passed where he was talking about like just how hard it is for his anxiety because he has like massive anxiety in front of large crowds, which is, you know, when you think about it, it's like, how crazy is that when you perform in front of large crowds? But that happens with a lot of people and sometimes it's worse than other times. And it sounded like he had a heart-to-heart, and Matt shared that story with Rolling Stone and not realizing that that was going to be the focus of the story was about how the Foo Fighters were basically grinding him down, like not intentionally, but all that touring was just getting to him. And I think Matt Cameron thought he was just doing an interview to talk about the life of his friend and didn't realize that that was just going to be the only part that they were going to focus on.
Yeah, which I can appreciate him being upset. And at the same time, you do say what you say when you go to these interviews. And so now the reason there's a problem is several of Taylor's friends have also echoed what Matt said. So that's why I feel like,
even though Matt Cameron's getting the bullseye on him for this, I mean, it seems like there's truth to it, but the rep for Foo Fighters were saying no, there was no heart-to-heart of any type or any meeting that took place where Taylor went to the band saying, I can't do this anymore, I gotta stop touring. So,
which is such a weird thing, like, at this time, I'm not pointing fingers and blame either in Foo Fighters camp or Matt Cameron, but it's just unfortunate that this is happening, you know, like, this kind of stuff is happening through Rolling Stone magazine, where they had to be like, no, he never had that conversation, when maybe he did and no one wants to really admit to it. I don't know, because yeah. Like, why would Matt Cameron make that up, and why would why would Chad Smith make that up as well? I don't mean to say it, just like, it's
yeah,
in my head. You know what I mean, why would they make that, those stories up about their friend?
Yeah, and of course, Chad Smith talked about, you know, how Taylor allegedly lost consciousness on a plane in Chicago. And, you know, and he's attributing it to exhaustion and just like, you know, how they had to pump him full of IVs and stuff. And he, again, he says Taylor was like, I can't do this anymore. And it surely does paint the Foo Fighters in a bad light if they were basically just trying to get him to grind it out, if that's what the case is. And you can see why the Foo Fighters don't want to look like that. There's
it
also
could have been where they had a conversation, Dave, and then maybe by the time the conversation was over, Taylor was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm feeling good about this. I just needed to get that off my chest, but now I'm feeling good. You know, we don't know.
Yeah.
And we'll never know.
Yeah, and that's and the two of them are doing the backstep. I mean, they're basically backstepping on this, getting mad at Rolling Stone.
Matt said he's like, I'm not happy that my conversations were taken out of context to fit a narrative that he never intended. And I have seen that before, where like you hear I'll listen to an interview and you can kind of hear the tone and what was going on, but then someone will take like a blurb from that and put it into print, and it sounds way worse than it was ever intended to be. Because, you know, you can't tell tone through just reading something. So I wish that there was like an audio version of that interview so we could get a vibe of exactly what was said. Because he's like, it's taken out of context. Well, how so?
Yeah, you're right. I would love to hear the context it's in, because you're right. Maybe there's more. You know, that's the thing with context, mm-hmm. is that if there's more said, like you said, that maybe where Taylor takes more accountability and says, you know what, I still wanted to do it, then it doesn't make the band look bad. You know, like, but unfortunately, they didn't print anything. It just basically said Taylor wanted out. And that's all we saw. And the thing is, though, is that we didn't see anything from, you know, Matt or from Chad sort of adding to it, saying, here's what they left out of context that I also said. I wish they would have given us some of that. Unfortunately, they just said, I was taken out of context and didn't give us any more.
Yeah, and as I've read Matt Cameron's post, he just put up a post on like his social media pages where it just had all this. So maybe he just didn't want to keep dwelling on it. He's just like, look, it was taken out of context. That's not what I meant. I have a lot of love for the Foo Fighters. I have a lot of love for Taylor Hawkins. He was my friend, and I'm heartbroken just like everyone else is.
Yeah, it really sounds like people are trying to, I don't know. We don't have all the information, and whenever I ever get enough information, I feel like somebody is trying to conceal something. I don't know who, and I'm not trying to accuse anybody of anything.
So his statement was, when I agreed to take part in the Rolling Stone article about Taylor, I assumed it would be a celebration of his life and work. My quotes were taken out of context and shaped into a narrative that I never intended. Taylor was a dear friend and a next level artist. I miss him. I have only the deepest love and respect for Taylor, Dave, and the Foo Fighters families. I'm truly sorry to have taken part in this interview, and I apologize that my participation may have caused harm for those of whom I have only the deepest respect and admiration for.
Yeah, that doesn't say anything about
what was said,
yeah.
Right.
Look, and I get Matt and Chad are like, dude, we weren't trying to be mean to anybody. We were just, you know, our friends seem, I mean, here's what I get. I get like they're talking about their guy, and at some point during the whole thing, when you do an interview, you maybe get relaxed, you feel comfortable. Maybe you still have some sadness, obviously, because your friend is gone. And yes, you're going to celebrate all the great things about Taylor. And of course, we know Taylor had issues over the course of his life. That we know. And then, you know, it's going to come to, man, this happened, which, you know, we just have heard about the, you know, maybe he was getting the schedule was just too much for him. I can see all that, but it doesn't, there's nothing I'm seeing that says that, well, there still isn't any truth to or anything that says that it didn't happen. Like, he didn't say, I want out. And that's the thing that bothers me is, well, give me the context that shows that, in fact, they did misquote you. Like, it doesn't look like they misquoted him. It just means they took it out of context. But all right, well, what's the context that makes it different than what we think it sounds like?
Yeah, I know. Chad Smith, he wrote, Teller is one of my best friends, and I would do anything for his family. I was asked by Rolling Stone to share some memories of our time together, which I thought was going to be a loving tribute that he deserved. Instead, the story that they wrote was sensationalized and misleading. Had I known, I would have never agreed to participate. I apologize to his family and musical friends for any pain that may have been caused. I miss Teller every day.
Yeah, again, I mean, it's a nice apology, and I'm sure that Chad
They probably went into it thinking, like he said, like, okay, you guys want to talk, share stories, and maybe they did share that part.
Yeah.
And didn't think that was just going to be the only focus of it all.
I understand their disappointment in that. It doesn't change the fact that may have still been true. But then again, and then the Foo Fighters saying that it never happened. See,
that's interesting,
So it's like, well, wait a second. I mean, there's nothing that's going to change the fact that you guys said what you said, and it's erroneous. So what does that mean? Yeah, this is, it sucks that this is coming out, but I mean, I think, this lifestyle is a tough lifestyle, you know, touring and being in the business that they're in, and then him having the anxiety problems that he had, and then of course him having the ways that he obviously dealt with it, which weren't helpful to his physicality and his health.
That was a trip when I read that part, because you see Taylor Hawkins on stage and he's larger than life.
Yeah,
and it happens with a lot of people where they can step it up and they turn it on, but it was interesting to hear that he had such stage fright. When on stage, you would never know. I mean, it was just like this guy. I mean, he was as big of a, like when he played the drums, like, you know, you all eyes were on him because like he was so like he had such like a vibe to him that you just wanted to put your eyes on him. And he was always having fun. He would take the center stage and sing on some of the songs as well. So when you hear that kind of stuff, and I'm not saying I don't believe it. It's just amazing that he was able to do whatever he needed to do to get to the point where he could still perform, because watching him on stage, you would never guess this guy's stage fright.
Yeah. And it does come back to mental health. And then of course the grueling schedule. I mean, the idea that I don't know, Steve, people do have IVs of stuff pumped into them, athletes and whatever. So I don't know the business to know whether or not if the schedule was unreasonable or if it was just too tough for Taylor, because that's two different things. It's two different things. It's like, is it a schedule that people can do, but, you know, Taylor couldn't do it? Or was it an unreasonable schedule? I think that's what Foo Fighters are probably like. We do not want it to look like that we were working this guy unfairly.
You know, the thing is, though, when I saw all the stuff from Chad Smith and Taylor Hawk, I mean, from Chad Smith and Matt Cameron, I never once thought those jerks in the Foo Fighters. Like, I never thought, like, oh, I can't believe that they did this to Taylor. I think it was just an interesting thing about a guy that probably was debating with his friends and talking to his friends freely, like, I don't know if I still have it in me. That's the vibe I got. It's not like these guys are forcing me to go on tour. It was more like, I don't know if I can keep doing it. I'm not sure if I want to. You know what I mean? Like, I never got that vibe that, oh, the Foo Fighters were the bad guys in any of this. I don't think anyone was the bad guy.
Yeah, it's vague as far as what was the resolution. I think that's the other problem, is that we know of a heart-to-heart. We don't know the resolution. We don't know, you know, what happened after that. It seems like Taylor was still touring, right? I mean, it seems like he was still continuing to work for the band. But if this heart-to-heart happened the way Matt and Chad talk about, yeah, we're left with what was the resolution? Because if Taylor was like, yeah, like you said, got it off my chest, I'm ready to go, I think I can still do it, well, mm-hmm. then there's no bad guy here. But if it's something else, and that's why the Foo Fighters rep, I don't think he did anybody any favors with that response. I just don't.
No, I think at that point, you just try to just let them say what they say. And, you know, I mean, I just hope that nobody's viewing you guys as the bad guys. I mean, but yeah, it's a sad thing, because it's not like it brings anybody back to life for us, and it doesn't
right.
anybody matters. It just adds more stupid drama that's unnecessary.
All right, well, we have a big question that has to be answered. I mean, you know, there's a lot of answers we'll never get in life, but this one we need an answer to. What do Ryan Castle and a wedding dress have in common? Oh, we'll get this answer at 9:50 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW. And now, the Ryan Castle question of the day.
What do Ryan Castle and a wedding dress have in common?
Typically only get worn once.
Yeah. Sorry about that, buddy, but once you're worn, it's over.
One person said I've kept both of them in my closet for 15 years.
Yeah.
With John Travolta? South Park episode.
Oh, man.
So they're both all
about R. Kelly.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
R. Kelly, John Travolta, and who is it? Tom Cruise. I think they've all spent some time in the closet over at South Park. And Ryan Cassatt.
Yeah, that's it. Got a new trend for wedding dresses, and don't tell Sarah, but apparently the new trend for brides is black wedding dresses.
Oh, it's an emo wedding.
Yeah, I approve.
Yeah. This, according to Google Trends, people have been Googling them just as much as white dresses for the past year, and they were actually searched more than white dresses for 2 months last fall. And so somebody who works for David's Bridal is like, yeah, you used to have to custom order a black gown, but now they're so popular, they're putting them in stock. And it's not the only color. People are going like blue pink. And purple and red.
What about pink?
Pink I haven't seen on this list. That doesn't mean it doesn't.
What about highlighter yellow?
That's it.
Hyper color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the highlight of my life. That's why I wore this dress. Wow. Ryan Cassatt. Oh, he's going to be the highlight of your day with a 12-pack. Next.
BJ and Mig's play of the day.
Like, if I'm doing the open casket, I want a Big Mac in my mouth.
Oh, wow. Wow, you're really...
going all in okay. on that one.
Yeah, I feel like that's... maybe in his hands is a little classier.
Well, that's a his decision. Me, personally, though, if I was him, I would do it that way.
Oh, I got other things we're going to put in your mouth. Don't worry about it.
Oh, God. Man.
What? No, he likes pretzels. What is wrong with you people?
Yeah, guys.
We're going to put a pretzel in his mouth.
Thank you, BJ. Get out. Can you mind that?
Wow. Got a red Danny.
BJ and Migs mornings on The Rock 99.9 KISW.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's another question from a listener. I have a mountain of credit card bills and consumer debt. Can I still keep my house if I file bankruptcy?
Yes, you almost always can keep your home and your house, your car in a bankruptcy. Depending on what type of bankruptcy you file, would depend on whether or not, for example, you can keep your vehicles if you have payments on them still. You can almost always keep your home if you're current on the payments on your home, even in full bankruptcy. In Chapter 13, you can also keep those items. If you're behind on your house, you could catch your house payments up in a Chapter 13, take off a second mortgage in a Chapter 13. So keeping your primary assets like a home and car is almost always possible in bankruptcy.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. And thanks for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.